is put your news categories in the order you want, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the all-new official LBC app for free from your app store now. I'm done for today. James O'Brien's The Other Side of the News on LBC. I'm back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and let me apologise in advance for almost certainly saying in the course of the next 3 hours that it's Monday. I always struggle in the aftermath of a bank holiday to recalibrate. And I struggle with two other things this morning as well. The first, as I've confessed to you many times in the past, is my notoriously awful news antennae. The reaction I sometimes have to stories belies the number of years that I've spent in this business. And the second is that at weekends, I try to step back a little bit from the news agenda. Otherwise, Horatio, I shall go mad. But there is an element to some of the, well, all of the reporting of the horrors in Liverpool yesterday that should give us all considerable pause.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, four children are among dozens of people injured after a car ploughed into a crowd in Liverpool. A total of 27 people were taken to hospital from the Premier League victory parade yesterday evening. A 53-year-old local man was arrested. LBC's reporter Liam Gotting has the latest from the scene.
Well, the chaos and carnage of what happened last night is still evident here on Water Street this morning. Broken glass, beer bottles, abandoned bikes and e-scooters all scattered in the road in front of me. Officers are lined up and down the street from top to bottom, and a huge blue and white forensics tent sits in the middle of the road as police continue their investigation. We spoke to Les, who was on Water Street and saw the whole thing happen. This is what he told us.
And people started panicking upstairs where we were, trying to get in the building because they were scared. But you don't like it. I mean, he's just gone, foot down, he's gone.
A 53-year-old man from the Liverpool area has been arrested and is still being held by police. Liam Gotting, LBC, Liverpool.
The government has confirmed a shift away from master's-level apprenticeships to focus on other training routes. Under-21s in England will be able to access thousands more entry-level courses instead. But some employers in the health and legal sectors have criticised the changes. The Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson, who's been speaking to LBC, has defended the move.
Under the last government, a big drop-off in the number of apprenticeship starts for young people in particular, and that's why we're rebalancing the system with much more of a focus on young people, and that does mean taking decisions around not funding in the same way some of those level 7, those master's level qualifications, those apprenticeships, and actually tilting it back to serve young people in a much better way.
The Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, is visiting Norway and Iceland to discuss ways to counter the threat from Russia. There are particular concerns about the risk of sabotage to undersea cables. Britain is also exploring the use of artificial intelligence to detect hostile state activity in the Arctic. The King is to become only the second British monarch to lead the state opening of Canada's Parliament. He'll follow the precedent set by the late Queen in 1957 on his trip to Ottawa later. Charles will set out the legislative agenda of Mark Carney's government as it faces a trade war with the US. And industry figures show food inflation rose for the fourth consecutive month in May. The British Retail Consortium says food prices are now 2.8% higher than a year ago. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading at 87.98. That is up 80. The pound buys $1.35 and a euro 19. LBC weather, most places seeing cloud and rain with some sunny spells in parts of Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 17 Celsius. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Gearing up for beach days or looking to refresh your summer wardrobe? Two has you covered with 20% off all Two clothing until Tuesday the 27th of May. Shop Two for all the family this summer in-store at Sainsbury's and online at two.co.uk. Two works every time. Subject to availability, delivery charges may apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 4 minutes after 10, and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. A very good morning to you. I hope you had a lovely bank holiday weekend. I may have to repeat that occasionally just to drive home into my own pathetic brain that it is now Tuesday. Feels like a Monday, but it isn't a Monday. It's definitely a Tuesday. Oh, that doesn't come as a major shock to anybody. This is a tricky one. I'm not worried about the rules of journalism and contempt of court, because I know that you understand them, and we are all grown-ups on this program. So there is a suspect in the horrors that unfolded on the streets of Liverpool yesterday, and an arrest has been made. Charges have not been brought. We will not be discussing anything with regard to what happened, especially. Except insofar as how the police chose to describe the suspect. And it is new. This is something that I don't have enough confidence in my... What's the word I want? I said news antennae in the little talk-up at the end of Nick's show. It should be a better word than that. I don't have enough confidence in my convictions, almost. I don't have enough courage in my convictions to be 100% certain that my inklings last night when this story first broke were correct, but they were. I've checked with people who are much older, well, not older necessarily, but much more experienced and much more reliable in these matters than I am. They have chosen to describe the suspect in this case as a white British man, a 53-year-old white British man. So far it could be me, a 53-year-old white British man from the Liverpool area. And what I had to check with more experienced colleagues was that this is a new development. This is not something that would ordinarily have happened. And I think it's pretty clear why it has happened. Because of fears of far-right provocateurs either taking to social media to spread lies and misinformation about the identity, the ethnicity, the religion, the immigration history of the suspect, or, and this is where I get really worried, or had the suspect ticked some of the boxes, beloved of far-right racist provocateurs, then I can't help worrying now that the message from the police would be, we now expect violence, but we don't expect it when we tell you that the suspect is a 53-year-old white British man. And I know there is a world of difference between expect and invite, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm struggling to see where the line between the two is this morning. I'm really struggling not to see this development as a tacit admission that when the suspect in a case like this is brown or Muslim or not from these shores originally by birth, then it would somehow be, what word do I want now? Acceptable? Probably not. Unless you're one of the people minded to get involved in that kind of violence. What message do you take away from this decision to pander to your prejudices? And remember that in the case of the Southport killings, the prejudices were false. The people spreading lies and misinformation for clicks and influence were in possession of precisely zero facts. The usual suspects jumping on the usual bandwagons to whip up hatred of asylum seekers. Now they're trying to defend a woman who pleaded guilty to incitement to racial hatred after calling for a pogrom to start in hotels full of people wholly innocent of any crimes. But that is the world we live in now. That is the country we inhabit. Tell me I'm wrong. 03456060973. Tell me that this is not a surrender of sorts to the forces of hate. Why else would they make this such a top priority? Why else do they need to get the colour, the ethnicity, the nationality of the suspect into public discourse so early, if not to somehow prevent the kind of scenes that we saw on our streets this summer after the Southport killings. 9 minutes after 10 is the time. I usually at this point start exploring the alternative position. I usually at this point start explaining the counterpoint to what I'm suggesting. But I can't currently see it. And that worries me on two levels, one serious, one not so serious. On the serious level, it worries me because I can't see the counterpoint. And on a less serious level, it worries me because I don't know what you're going to say to me today. I mean, if we all agree whether we are repulsed by the sort of scenes that we saw during the Farage riots of last summer, or whether we are minded to join in and are excited by them, I don't know that we would disagree that the decision to release the identity of the suspect, that the identifying characteristics of the suspect can be seen as anything other than an admission that when people suspected of undertaking behaviours like this fit certain categories, religiously, ethnically, in terms of immigration status, then there will be blood. What does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, I presume there'll be nobody on social media today encouraging you to set fire to buildings containing 53-year-old white British men like me. I presume that won't happen, and I presume all the people currently queuing up to defend the woman who made precisely that plea when the buildings were full of asylum seekers won't recognise the danger of their own position. What does it mean now? What does it mean that the police are tacitly, and again I say, please tell me that I'm wrong about this, but from where I'm sitting, the police are tacitly acknowledging that if a crime is committed by a certain type of human being, the response from certain sections of the public will be completely different from what it would be if a crime is committed by, for example, a 53-year-old white British man. What does it mean that that has happened? That's a good phrase from David. Ugly pragmatism. Because I don't know that you can fault the police's decision. I mean, the tragedy here for our country, for people who rather like living here and don't understand the effort that so-called patriots put into trying to impugn and malign our island nation... the tragedy here is that the police are right, aren't they? I'm not on Twitter anymore, but sometimes it will filter through through to the platforms that I am still on. And some of the poison that has been spread, some of the obvious lies, some of the claims that it was a false flag. I mean, I don't think the average Joe or Joan appreciates just how deep into public discourse this terminal online far-right talking point has gone. I mean, the leader of the opposition, Kemi Badenoch, is part of this particular problem. The broader question of being terminally online and focusing and swallowing far-right talking points. I don't think that it is widely or properly appreciated, even by quite senior members of traditional media, even quite probably by me, just how deep into the bloodstream of public discourse this hatred and bigotry has now gone. You know, you don't need me to tell you which politicians thrive on this hatred and bigotry. You don't need me to tell you which politicians, public figures, pundits, commentators and columnists actively encourage and then benefit from it. But the message that is being sent to the country today, I think, is we don't worry about riots when the suspect is a white British 53-year-old man. And I don't know what that says about our country, and I don't know what that means for our future. But but I want you to tell me. 0345 60 60 973 is the number that you need. You know, obviously this is sensitive stuff. Thank God so far. We are not talking about fatalities in the context of the incident in Liverpool, but we know that four children are among the injured, and we will, as ever on LBC, be bringing you any news and developments as they occur. The injuries of at least two people are very serious. We know that. But the focus of this conversation is on something that has shifted in our country, in our nation. And I'm not going to say for good or for ill, because it's the worst kind of thing. It's the worst kind of shift. I think it's awful. And I think it had to happen. So today is one of those days, which we haven't had for a while. And please God, it stays true that we are not discussing fatalities. But today is one of those days where it is as if we work together. Or it is as if we are on, well, not on the same bus. I don't think you'd start conversations like this on the bus, possibly in Yorkshire, but certainly not on my bus route. But it is as if we know each other outside of our morning radio encounters, and we are just going to sit down and chat, and I'm no more qualified than you are. I guess I've awarded myself the role of starting the conversation. If we were sitting around the same water cooler, or we were sitting at the same table in the staff canteen, I would probably have begun by saying, is it just me? You know, when you do that, you're about to sort of launch a rhetorical hand grenade into the conversation. Is it just me? Or does the fact that the police have immediately told us that the suspect is a white British 53-year-old man, is it just me? Or does that mean that if he wasn't, the message to the Farage rioters and their friends would be, fill your boots. Hit the numbers now, you will get through. There are questions. Fred in Guildford poses one. If a 53-year-old white British man is suspected of an atrocity, surely the legitimate concerns crowd will be out protesting at golf clubs and model train shops. I think that's a slightly unfair portrayal of 53-year-old men. Fred, speaking as a 53-year-old white British man, I can assure you I'm not particularly interested in golf clubs or model train shops, but I have started spending more time than is healthy in garden centres. So actually, if you add garden centres to the list, then yes, the legitimate concerns mob should no doubt be calling for garden centres to be set on fire, or sending their rampaging, knuckle-dragging followers onto the local golf course. I'm Fred making light of the situation, but with a sense of seriousness. With a sense of seriousness. Steve says, have you considered that the driver could be a white Muslim? You're going to look a mug if that turns out to be true. Steve, they're making my point for me in ways that I could not have driven home as powerfully if I'd continued this introduction for 3 hours. Because if it does turn out to be a white Muslim, Steve will think that it's okay to riot. It's okay to set fire to hotels full of asylum seekers. It's okay to attack the police. It's okay to throw bricks at the thin blue line. It's a big moment, this. I'm always slightly wary of saying that first. Not first, there are a couple of other people who are tilting at similar windmills, but I'm always slightly wary of it because my instincts are not brilliant when it comes to what the news is, but they're pretty good when it comes to where bigotry is taking us, where ignorance and demagoguery, where the snake oil salesmen are leading us. I haven't been wrong about that for a while, if ever, and I think this is a big win for them. We now live in a country where if the suspect in a horrific event is described as white British, we can be confident that we won't be seeing rampaging mobs taking to the streets of our country and attacking entirely innocent people for the crimes of somebody perceived, or the alleged crimes of somebody perceived to be a little bit more like the suspect than them. It's not quite scale of 1 to 10 stuff, is it? But on a scale of 1 to 10, how troubled are you by this? Because I think I'm a 10. Just in terms of what it says about society, in terms of what it says about where we are, the 53-year-old white British man, even as I speak, it's popping up on the subtitles on my TV screen. That didn't used to happen. And of course, underpinning all of the questions that I'm asking you, what if it wasn't? What if it wasn't? I mean, why are they telling us this, if not to acknowledge that if it wasn't a 53-year-old white British man, then the reaction would not only be very different, but somehow also sanctioned or encouraged, invited or acknowledged, whatever verb you prefer. Hit the numbers now, you will get through. 0345 6060 973 is the number you need. It's 1019.
LBC.
So, close your eyes. Picture the scene. Just you and me, alone, enjoying breakfast on our own little island. Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah.
Great, because I've booked Wickes to design our new kitchen.
At Wickes, we have 70 kitchen styles to choose from, with prices from under £3,000 to over £20,000. And with our spend and save offer, there's up to 50% off kitchen units. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Terms and minimum spend apply.
What's your possible? The vision only you can make happen. Whatever the size of your business, accelerate your growth with the Intuit QuickBooks AI-powered platform. Power your possible with the number one recommended cloud accounting software, Intuit QuickBooks. Based on a survey of 506 UK accounting professionals. Verify at quickbooks.co.uk/verify.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. globalacademy.com.
Amazon offers employees up to £8,000 for education and training, like Juliet. She's now a trained technician. And to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £8,000 for education and training at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060 973.
21 minutes after 10 is the time. I think it's good that they give the details when they're fact-based and won't allow crazy people to incite hate. The problem is, of course, that they will give the details next time when perhaps they would incite what you describe, Maria, as crazy people to incite hate. Jake, in Oxford writes, when I heard the news this morning that instantaneously reported the race of the suspect, I winced like a two-footed tackle in football. I just thought of what the ramifications would be. Albeit a pragmatic decision from the police, I think they may regret it in the long term as it sets a dangerous precedent. And Anne-Marie makes a very interesting point. Another element is that black and brown people have always had targets on our backs. So the subliminal message has always been that we are bad and no good, to the point where I and many others always pray that a perpetrator isn't black or brown because we know what the response will be. And how many white people listening to me now, how many fellow 53-year-old white British men are worried that they're going to be somehow tarred with the same brush as this suspect? Oh my God, it's a 53-year-old white British man. I better not go out today. Do you see what I mean? That's the point that Anne-Marie is making. And she brings it home with a really good analogy, actually. She says, remember the missed penalties at the Euro. This is the latest evolution of where we have all been heading for a very long time. 22 after 10. John's in Liverpool. John, what would you like to say?
Hi, James.
Hello, mate.
Yeah, it was just on the word at the start of your programme about a surrender to the far right. I just think what the police in this instance, I think what the police did was just the right decision. I think in any walk of life, to get the best outcome, you need to make the right decisions. And if that meant identifying the person as the suspect, to avoid any grave incidents down the line, I think they did the right thing. But then Your researchers kind of said to me, well, what if it was a refugee, a Muslim who'd done it? Should they then also identify them? Which is a good point, but then I thought, well, whatever they decide to do to get the best outcome is the best thing to do.
In that moment?
I
think you're right. I think, oddly, I think it is a surrender to far-right sensibilities or far-right prejudices, precisely because it is saying to society, we will get a different response if and when the suspect is from a different ethnicity or from a different background. But Our job is to make sure we don't have more Farage riots tomorrow. Therefore, we better release the fact that the suspect in this case looks more like Nigel Farage than he does, or me, looks more like me than he does, like the people that are filmed falling out of dinghies in Dover every week. I mean, that is what they've done, but it makes me very, very sad and not a little bit scared because of what it will do next time a suspect is. Does tick the hate boxes of the usual suspects. What message do they take away from this?
No, I agree, but I just think if these nutcases, I'm going to call them, need to be managed and corralled in a certain way by certain words or certain actions, well, that's the best outcome. Let's just avoid tragedy, however we can do it.
Yeah, I that's it, isn't it? I mean, that is the whole thing about holding two ideas in your head at the same time. The police have done the right thing, but only because we live in a world where hate is winning. And they have to acknowledge, they have to legislate for the world in which hate is winning, not for the world in which we used to live and the world in which most of us, I think, still would prefer to live. John, thank you. I just while I have you here, from Liverpool itself, the mood in the city, I presume, is absolutely dazed at the moment.
Well, we were about 500 metres. We were on the Strand yesterday, so from where it happened in Water Street. Yes. We only heard on the radio coming out of Liverpool. We live just outside Liverpool. But all of the reaction is... Well, one of the reactions, unfortunately, is when... it always seems to be... It's always when a Liverpool thing... When, you know, a big event that's happened to Liverpool Football Club has over the years ended in an absolute horrific tragedy. And there's kind of that, you think, oh my goodness, not again. It's very somber and incredulous, really. And you see those horrific images.
And that would be perhaps an element for our conversation on a different day. Not you, but the curious contradiction of the police urging individual members of the public not to share any footage they may have recorded or seen on social media, while traditional media, like broadcasters most obviously, but also newspapers as well, seem determined to share the grisliest images they can find. Thank you, John. James is in Glasgow. James, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. I'd like to thoughts and prayers of all those involved of yesterday's atrocity. I think in general, the police had no option but to release that information as early as they could, basically with regard to what happened in Southport and the Farage riots and everything else that the right-wing movement in this country, which is growing exponentially. Their hatred is undeniable. Even last night when I went online, because I knew fine well it would be full of comments from people without actually knowing any information, and they were just so willing to discredit what the police were saying, that it was a cover-up, it was a false flag, and there was no way it was a white person, asking people if they'd seen actual pictures of the driver to confirm whether or not they were white or not.
God.
And it was just unbelievable to read the comments were just like disgusting, you know, just absolutely disgusting. I just find the society we live in today, that's where we are, where the first attack is going to be, or there must be an immigrant, or there must be an asylum seeker.
But they're desperate for it to be true as well. That is the crucial element of this tragedy.
Yeah.
I, as in the tragedy of where the country has ended up, not the tragedy that unfolded in Liverpool yesterday. They're two distinct things, but the tragedy that we're discussing is that is the country that we have apparently become now.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I've no doubt that people like Farage were probably sitting, hopefully, that it was going to come out that it was someone from a minority within the UK, because it just leads to their message they want to put out there, you know, at least to their followers.
I'm sure he'd dispute that, but he jumped all over the alleged sex trafficker Andrew Tate's lies last time round. So, I mean, there are some grounds for your
He also reported when the Southport incident happened that he retweeted posts or unfactual about that situation as well. So he has done it before.
But the police, I think he would again claim that he was simply asking questions, but we can do the same, of course. This, as everyone I think is going to agree, and this is why I'm so discombobulated this morning, the police have done the right thing in the context of this event. But as Brendan has just texted me, what happens if, stroke, when an asylum seeker does undertake actions, comparable actions to this? Well, that's the second message here, isn't it? So the first message is, it's all right. You police attacking, hotel burning freaks. You don't need to go and load up your petrol bombs and start sharpening your cudgels, whether rhetorical or actual, because this suspect is white. But what message do they receive next time they're not?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's how...
Oh, man, I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong, James. I want someone to explain to me why we've all got this slightly wrong, and you don't need to worry about what message it sends to the usual suspects. Yeah. About.
And unfortunately, you're not wrong, and it's true of the society where we are in society right now. Because the willingness to believe what's actually true that doesn't fit the narrative... or to make up something that fits their narrative, yeah, is what they want, you know. I think that's just where we are.
It seems
sadly
to be where we are. And that, I think, is a more profound moment than even we're fully acknowledging at the moment. It changes something fundamental to this country, to the United Kingdom, and a sort of form of equality before the law. Not quite, because the law would act the same, regardless of identity, despite all the ludicrous claims about two-tier justice. But it's equality before the court, equality before the court of public opinion, equality before the people. It's as if the police have, I think, inevitably, and almost certainly correctly, it's as if the police have acknowledged we don't have that. And we're not even going to pretend that we do anymore. It's 10:31. Thomas Watts has your headlines.
Sir Keir Starmer says the whole country stands with Liverpool after a car ploughed into a crowd in the city. A total of 27 people were taken to hospital from the Premier League victory parade yesterday evening. The Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson, has told LBC she is rebalancing the system for apprenticeships in England. She's going ahead with controversial plans to move funding from high-level to entry-level courses. Far-right activist Tommy Robinson has been released from prison. His 18-month sentence for contempt of court was reduced by 4 months at the High Court last week. LBC weather, cloud and rain spreading across England and Wales, sunny spells and showers in Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 17 degrees.
LBC.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
So, close your eyes. Picture the scene. Just you and me, alone, enjoying breakfast on our own little island. Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah.
Great, because I've booked Wickes to design our new kitchen.
At Wickes, we have 70 kitchen styles to choose from, with prices from under £3,000 to over £20,000. And with our spend and save offer, there's up to 50% off kitchen units. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Terms and minimum spend apply.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco, every little helps.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 606 973.
It is 10:33 and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. This from Ian. The right-wing ghouls, and he chooses to name some, but I won't, are already celebrating today, James, the actions of the police to confirm that a white British man is the suspect in the Liverpool case is a huge win for them, because if, stroke, when there is another incident, they will expect the nationality or race to be released immediately. If not, the Farage narrative of information being hidden will be given oxygen. Oh, and Twitter is still full of false flag stories and police cover-ups. Yeah, there's a former footballer who has posted something pretty hideous as well, which fits very neatly into the context of the conversation that we're having. And it points also to the sort of denigration of basic morality, because you have a footballer who's been found guilty recently of both wife beating and a high court libel case has also found that online posts he made about a black footballer were defamatory, had a defamatory meaning. But on Twitter, on Elon Musk's Twitter, he can still cast himself as some sort of folk hero. 10:35 is the time. Lloyd is in Lewisham. Lloyd, what would you like to say?
I'd like to say that the police is responding to what the country is saying. And the country is saying this: we don't care what's been done. We only care who's done it.
Oh, Lord.
So that's
using the "we" in an academic sense here, I think, rather than describing your own thoughts and feelings.
No, not my thoughts. Yeah. No way. Responding to what society is saying.
Yeah.
In a broad sense, obviously, because they know that if they made the same announcement, but it was a person of a different race, ethnicity, whatever, the riots will happen anyway. The trouble would happen anyway. All they're doing now, their new tactic is to announce them all so they don't have to police every situation, because it'll only happen on the instances where there is a non-white person doing it. That's all it is.
I can start an argument in an empty room, but I've got nothing to push back on with this. And I can't quite believe how quickly it's all happened, how quickly we've become a country where if a crime is committed by someone who... Can I ask what your ethnic background is, Lloyd? Is that all right?
Yeah, sure. I'm Afro-Caribbean.
Okay, so if a crime is committed by someone who looks like me... Everyone can relax. If a crime is committed by someone who looks like you, or someone who looks like they have parents who came here from somewhere else, or came here from then action stations.
That's always been the case.
Not like this. Not as stark as this, Lloyd.
Well, when you think about it, I don't want to mention the cases, but where there's been child abductions and rings involving China from years and years ago.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing said. It's reported, but there's nobody wanting to go out and riot and march down the streets.
No, you're right.
But
this is, that great word Maria used was evolution. This is like a stage of evolution in the normalisation of race-based hatred. It is now normalised. Because the police will actually say, "Don't worry, it's a white suspect. There's no need to riot, and no one's going to be walking around. No 53-year-old white British man like me is going to be walking around worried about what other people are thinking."
Well, yes, and I don't think the police are necessarily saying it in that way. Although it amounts to the same thing. What they're really saying is, "Okay, fellow officers, we're okay this weekend or tomorrow."
Yeah,
and when it's a person of a different race, it's like, okay, let's get our riot shields out because it's going to kick off.
Yeah, that's the message.
And it's simply down to logistics and saving a bit of money because society is what it is now, which is don't worry about the crime, worry about who's committing it. Don't get angry if the person looks like you because I don't know. Does it mean that we're allowed to?
I think it does. I really do. I think it is saying. I mean, from the minute that Farage started amplifying the lies of people like the alleged sex trafficker Andrew Tate, I thought this is going to be a moment. This is going to be a moment. Because then one of the terror watchdogs came out and said maybe the police should share more information. I thought maybe the country should clamp down much harder on the people who both provoke and undertake the acts of violence and incitement than we saw last summer. And that, I think, is why you bring funding into it. It's a heck of a lot cheaper to just say, all right, everyone stand down, it's a white fella, than it is to say, anybody who is seeking to incite hatred or seeking to set fire to hotels or attacking police or launching pogroms in the 21st century, that we are going to come down on them like a ton of bricks, because what we're not going to do is modify or alter the way that we investigate serious crimes. But here we are. But here we are.
Unfortunately, you can't.
No, and they're the people telling us, as Lauren points out, these are the people who were constantly telling us to abandon identity politics. You couldn't make it up. Also, the big sort of free speech warriors. You couldn't make it up, could you? It's a grim day, Lloyd, isn't it? It's definitely a big moment. Not the most important thing that's going on at this precise moment. That is the welfare of the injured, including the child and the adult who are seriously hurt. But in the context of what it's done to our country, this feels permanent.
We are now a country of the hard of thinking. That is what it is.
The invitation to hate first and ask questions later is being taken up by more people than ever before. I'd probably put it that way.
A lot of us are led by emotions and opinions born of those emotions.
Yes, of course.
Not opinion and emotions born of fact. It's as simple as that. And if fact is not your basis, then your opinions and emotions can bring you in. You read something on X, which I don't go on anymore. Mm. I've been out accessible for ages now. It's no one can sit down and think, okay, I've just read this story. Let me check a lot of other sources to see if this story is true. Yeah. No one does it anymore.
No. Well, people can go on the telly and start ranting, and people with blue ticks and big followings can start spreading all sorts of lies.
And I keep saying it's the harder thinking. We do not think anymore, but maybe because of Google and all the other stuff that happens, we've got short attention span, or we read something that we like the sound of, and we just stick with that.
I think it's endorphins. I think something kicks in hormonally, or what's the other word I want? When you see stuff that triggers your fight or flight syndrome, even in a position of safety. These accounts that share nothing but footage of crimes being committed by people of colour, they like wallpaper social media, people love it.
I get sent stuff, right, is from the other side, let's say, for want of a better word, making a falsehood about someone with my background on the positive side.
Right.
And saying that, and I look at it and say, well, I don't share those things online anyway, but I look at it and I research and say, well, actually, that's crap.
Yeah, yeah. Well, same. I do it live in the studio sometimes. People will come on and tell me something about people getting free cars or free houses. And there was one time recently where I found the root of the lie. I found the source of the online lie and the fact check. But I don't even know if that caller went away chastised or rethinking his position. He might have just gone hardened or more stubborn at the end of the exchange. I don't know what we do with that.
To be honest, I don't know what we do about it as well. I think people only realise and think about things when it happens to them. People are, when it could be stop and search, it's a great thing, stop and search, until you're the one being stopped and searched.
Everyone loves the police until they're the ones being policed.
Exactly. It's hard of thinking.
It is. I just sometimes worry, perhaps belatedly, that you're unlikely to win people over or tempt them out of that place of ignorant false security by using language like that. But it's certainly a lot milder than some of the language I've used over the years, so it would be a tad pot kettle of me to criticise you. One thing I do come back to quite a lot is that one of the little girls killed in South Park, Alice, was the child of immigrants. I do come back to that quite a lot, because these little moments of clarity, logic and fact give such a proverbial kicking to all of the opposite of those things. You know, the lack of logic, the absence of facts, the prioritizing of emotion over intellect, as Lloyd describes, that the hard of thinking. You hate immigrants so much that you are... What are you doing with regard to parents of that little girl in Southport, telling them to go back where they came from. I don't quite see that there is no logic to it. And that is the country that the police yesterday night chose to speak to, the hard of thinking, the lack of logic. And of course, we cannot overestimate or indeed exaggerate the role that has been played by some deeply dangerous, divisive and disgusting people. In many cases, the same people responsible for hobbling this country, for bringing it to its knees in so many ways, with regard to the economy, to international trade, to status, to the heft that we now have as a nation. They've hobbled the country, and they never stop moaning about the state of play or attacking the people trying to fix it. And they will be absolutely cock-a-hoop this morning, because next time, as Oliver puts it, talking about Lloyd, this caller is absolutely right. He puts it beautifully. It all puts the police in a horrible position next time someone from a different background does something wrong. They either release the information immediately and we get more riots and people, innocent people being targeted, or they withhold it and get accused of covering up. It's horrible, but that's the world we live in now. It's the land that Nigel built.
This is LBC.
Hey, it's Roman here. Now at Vodafone, you can get the epic Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra and save up to £1,008 when you trade in an eligible phone. Plus, you can experience the exclusive Circle to Search feature, available only on Android, helping you to search fast and find what you need without switching apps. Go online or in-store today. Ends 12th of June. Vodafone.
Save £576 on 5GB airtime over 36 months and £72 on the phone. 100MB max speed, eligibility, credit and trade-in checks and terms apply. Finance Vodafone.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
Nothing beats a Tier 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £200 per couple with MyJet 2. So escape to sunny favourites like Gran Canaria, Crete and Costa Blanca. And get 22 kilograms of baggage included. Book summer now from London Luton Airport with just a £60 deposit per person. Jet 2 Holidays. Package holidays you can trust. Astronautical protected. Subject to availability and conditions.
James O'Brien. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
10:47, the one thing you can't do is give up. Either give up the fight for decency or give up the attempts to understand what is going on, even as the people that you're analysing defy most laws of logic. I think it's pretty simple in this case, and forgive me if this is obvious to you, but people are desperate to believe that ethnicity, nationality, immigration status, asylum status are causes of crime. It's why Lloyd mentioned Stop and Search. Elderly white men with radio shows like nothing more than to wang on about what a brilliant tactic Stop and Search is, but seriously, chuck them over the bonnet of a black mariah and start frisking them for no reason or without any grounds for suspicion, and they'd be squealing like a stuck pig. But they know it's never going to happen to them, because they're elderly white men with a radio show, or a newspaper column, or a political party. So the and we talked, didn't we, to Oh, what's the name of the lad from Hope Not Hate that wrote The Year of the Rat? We talked to him, one of his big discoveries when he was undercover in infiltrating these hideous far-right organisations who've now got tentacles in much, much, much more respectable corners of the country, not least on social media. But the fake science underpins a lot of the real nastiness. The idea that your ethnicity somehow defines your IQ is the other side of the coin that contends Harry Shuckman. I really recommend that book, The Year of the Rat. It's the other side of the coin that suggests that your ethnicity, your nationality, your asylum status somehow defines or determines your proclivity to criminality. Something you can say is that almost all of the terrible acts that we discuss on this program are committed by men. But when do men ever have to answer for themselves? It's crazy, right? But you can pick some defining characteristics, usually ethnic, sometimes religious, and it's an open season now on claiming that the actions of an individual somehow describe and define the attitudes and the character of everybody like them. This is career for some people now. This is a career. It is literally a career. And on Elon Musk's Twitter, you can make enough money weaponizing this sort of ignorant hatred to give up your day job. It's absolutely extraordinary. And it's there. You know, people are sending me examples of it this morning, that the evidence is there. People are doing it for clicks and status and influence. And here we are. 10:50 is the time. What does it mean for the future? Short answer is that if a crime is committed by somebody who is here seeking asylum, or somebody who has recently arrived, then I think that people have been told reacting like they reacted last summer is to be expected. I don't think I would say to be encouraged, but the line between the two is a line I cannot draw. I can't tell you where expected finishes and encouraged begins. And if they feel encouraged, then have they been encouraged? A philosophical conundrum for you at 9 minutes to 11 on a Tuesday morning. If I say something and you take from my words the idea that I am encouraging you, even though I'd swear blind that I wasn't, am I guilty of incitement? And I just mean relatively mild language. I don't mean saying go and set fire to the hotels, burn the lot of them, because you can say that in this country now and get defended up to and including the comment pages of the Daily Mail and the Daily Telegraph. So it will be expected. Violence will be expected. And what's it built on? It's built on a determination to believe a lie. And what's the lie? The lie is that the colour of your skin or the accident of birth on your passport somehow defines your proclivity for criminality. And do you know who celebrates the most when that kind of attitude takes hold of a society, takes hold of a country? I'll tell you who. White criminals, British paedophiles, British white paedophiles and killers and criminals. They love it when a society gets high on its own supply, gets caught up in the idea that an ethnicity is a trigger for certain types of behaviour, because the people committing that kind of behaviour who don't have that ethnicity, they're home and dry. And the louder they shout about how you need to watch them or you need to watch that type of person, the more suspicious I am of what they get up to in private. Because I don't understand why else you would do it. Don't look over here, look over there at completely innocent people. Who are you trying to distract the attention from, if not potentially guilty people? But here we are. That's it. That's where we live. 10:52 is the time. Nad is in Camden. Nad, what would you like to say?
James, you describe a horrible reality, but I wanted to share, you know, how I felt when I read this, and immediately thinking, why are the headlines not talking about the victims? And you know, partly
because nobody's died. I just to be a bit boring for a moment, and partly because it's only hours since it happened, and not a great deal will be known, and anything that is known would have been known too late to make this morning's newspapers, which will set the agenda. Sure. So carry on with your point, but there are some logical answers to your question, or less depressing. Yeah, so
Because that was then my observation around the headlines, is that what are the headlines talking about? And they're not talking about terrorism. They are talking about carnage, and they are, you know, I think that's the big word of the day. But then my feeling, and I can't help thinking that I'm, you know, from an ethnic Muslim background, but me and many hundreds of millions of others were probably relieved to know that this wasn't, you know, somebody who was being labelled as a Muslim and possibly from an ethnic background. Or
because no one's going to throw a brick through your window later today.
Right, completely. But then, you know, the other observations are, well, then, now that we do know the demographic of this individual, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything, right? Apart from just a nod for those racist sects of society that say, okay, yeah, it was one of us, so we can just, you know, carry on.
And this speaks to your original point, is that no one, and Lloyd in Lewisham made this point as well, no one's even pretending to care about the victims.
And the last observation for me is, where are all the commentators?
Yeah.
I won't name them, but you speak about them every day, if anything. Where are they? Where are they commentating on which platforms? You know, where is the support for those victims? And your children, right? You picked that up yourself. I didn't pick that up, but there's children in that.
Mm-hmm.
Where are those commentators today? Of course, one of those commentators will be up outside Parliament delivering a whole different speech today. But I'll be watching closely to see if he mentions it.
Mm. What broader point about society can you make when the suspect is a 53-year-old white British man? Answer, none. What broader point about society can you make when the suspect is a 25-year-old asylum seeker? Answer, none. But that won't stop them trying.
It's horrible. And I often think about the time when the riots were happening and we were caught up in an office environment and told to evacuate our office. And I looked around, and after all the sort of panic and nervousness of people, employees leaving the office, a handful stayed. A handful stayed because they were okay. It was not us they were after. Never forget that scene. It's okay. It's not, you know.
And that is it. I mean, there is not a single voice so far suggesting that we've got this wrong, suggesting that it isn't both the right decision for the police in the context of the country that they are policing, and a tragedy for decency, a tragedy for humanitarianism, if you like, a tragedy for anybody who believes that the only thing that matters, or rather that my compassion for the victim of a crime is not going to change according to the ethnicity of who committed it. It is, and goodness me, some people try to bring the atrocities in Gaza into everything. So I'm afraid I'm going to be a little bit guilty of that briefly. It's the same as we talk about. Some people just will not allow you to feel as horrified by the murder of an innocent child of Palestinian extraction as you do about the murder of an innocent child of Israeli extraction. Some people won't let you do that. They insist that one life is worth more than another. And here we see something similar playing out on the domestic stage. A crime is different when it is committed by somebody different. I wonder how many people who've lost a loved one to murder find themselves waking up in the morning and wishing that the murder had been committed by someone of a different ethnicity. I would suggest none whatsoever. But here we are. Frank's in Carlisle. Frank, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. Thanks for taking the call again. I mean, I'm a white 51-year-old guy, so, you know, we're...
Stone him! Stone him!
Exactly. But, I mean, I wanted to say I'm happy about this, but happy is a stupid word to use on a day like this.
Sure.
But, I mean...
A little bit relieved that there won't be any riots and that people won't be whipping up the hatred of the mob because they haven't got the ammunition that they need to do so.
Well, that, yes, but, you know, people often talk about British values and you often say, you know, what British values are you talking about? Well, I think one of the big ones is fairness.
Yeah, me too.
And I think if we are going to report crime saying a brown person did this, you know, and that and the other, before anything's gone further than they've just been arrested, before it's gone to court and the facts are known, then we need to do it for everybody. You know, we need to say every time, because all we hear at the moment is, there was a crime, here was a crime, there was a crime, this crime was committed by a brown person, there was another crime, there was another crime. If we heard that the 10 other crimes were all committed by white people, it dilutes the message that people who are not from here shouldn't be here, because they're causing all the trouble.
Yeah,
and I think that helps. And I think this messaging, it's not for the people who are in the hole. You know, it's not for people who've already boiled their brains. It's for the people who are on the edge.
Yeah.
And it's half term. Now, it's everybody in the country is on half term this week because it's bank holiday weekend. And there were a lot of kids going out in July last year, just going out because they had some time and they wanted to see what was going on.
And because they had been, they'd been primed by politicians and pundits and online provocateurs. I mean, this is what breaks my heart. And I don't use that phrase loosely. What breaks my heart is that we've surrendered the battle against them, those politicians, those pundits, those commentators, the ones who lied, the ones who spread misinformation, the ones who were, quote, just asking questions. We've surrendered. We have become a racist society. If the perpetrator or the suspect is white, it's a lone man. Ian Dunt writes this morning, it's just some lone madman whose actions have no political implication. And he's speaking generally. If they're an immigrant, in particular a dark-skinned Muslim immigrant, then they represent an entire group and are part of a political attack. That is where we live now. That is Brexit Britain. That's the land that Nigel built.
Now, I'll take that. Obviously, there are people like Farage who are on that bandwagon, but I don't put them as the cause of it. I put social media as the cause of it. When it is profitable you to spread lies and get clicks, then you'll do whatever you need to do in order to get those clicks and get that money. You know, people will look at a plane flying overhead and say it's chemtrails, and you know those people are already too far gone. But people have jumped on this social media thing, you know, right the way up to politics. You look in America where they're doing things for clicks rather than votes. And it's like that here.
That is partly why Trump and Vance profess to be so concerned about the online safety bill, because it is within the gift of governments to clamp down on at least some of the madness that you describe. But we live in a country where people are in jail for social media posts that the social media platform hasn't taken down. Hideous incitement.